So, just where is God? People want to know. We long to know the presence of God. We long to feel God's presence. That's the way we were created. We were created with an emptiness inside that can only be filled by God. Where have you experienced God's presence? Where do you go to find God's presence among you? There is a place, as I said, inside each of us that aches for the presence of God. This is the last week. We took a little break last week because Dave Klein was able to share with us. But this is the last week in our Exodus series. As we've been following the journey of the people of Israel, of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt to the land that God had promised them. These people had been through a lot, and they just wanted to know that God was with them. They wanted to know God's presence. They had come from being slaves and cruelly treated in Egypt to seeing God's miracles as they were released from that slavery, led across the Red Sea on dry land. They saw the Lord deliver them from the Egyptian army and provide food and water for them as they wandered through the desert toward this promised land. But now they were in the everyday of this journey. They were in the everyday, tedious routine of camping out every night, going from place to place, doing this journey toward the promised land. And they began to wonder, were those miracles real? Because the sense of those miracles didn't last for them. They began to wonder, where is God now in the normal everyday part of our lives? And so God commanded Moses to build what is called in the Bible a tent of meeting. A place that it wasn't exactly where God was, because God is everywhere. The psalmist tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But this tent of meeting was going to be a visible sign of God's presence among them. And so Moses built that tent according to the plans that God gave him. The walls were blue and purple and red curtains, and apparently they were beautiful, the Bible says. The roof of it was beautiful, finely tanned leather, so it would keep out the elements. The altar was made of hammered gold. People contributed their jewelry, and there were golden angels on the altar, and there were golden candlesticks on each side. And the thing about this tent was it was portable. It could go with them wherever they went. It could go with them as a sign that God was still with them. God's presence was still traveling and leading them. And the Bible tells us that when the tent was finished, and Karen read this for us earlier, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on each stage of their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, before the eyes of all of the house of Israel at each stage of their journey. And so that tent became a sign that God was always with them and of God's presence everywhere. Later on, when they reached the promised land, God commanded them to build a temple, a permanent structure that would be in the capital city of Jerusalem, in the midst of the country, and it would continue to remind them that God was with them and that God was among them, right in the middle of them and everywhere. There have always been special places to experience the presence of God. Sometimes it's a church or cathedral. These places are places that are set aside. where people can come and worship together on a day of worship, or can come through the week. And sometimes during the week when our church is open and I walk by this sanctuary, I will see someone in here sitting or praying. Sometimes when someone comes to speak with me, I will bring them in here. And it's not that this is the only place God is, but it's a sign of God's presence. It's a sign that God is still at work in this world. Later, of course, the glory of the Lord rested on Jesus. People sensed that he was and is God with us. Children would flock around him just to be near him. People believed that if they would just touch his clothing, they would be healed, and it happened. Jesus was the visible presence of God among the people, and anyone who asked, "Where is God?" would find the answer in Jesus. Down through the centuries, people anticipated that God would not only be among them, but would live within them. The scripture verse that Karen read for today quoted the book of Joel, when Joel prophesied that there would be a day when the Spirit of the Lord would be able to rest on all people, and all people would carry the Spirit of God within them. And of course, in the scripture verse that Karen read, it happened at Pentecost. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues like fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I said. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel when he said, 'In the last days it will be, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.' On everyone that Spirit was to fall." On the day of Pentecost, Jesus shared the glory of God with all of those who followed him. And we have inherited that promise, and we have inherited that glory for those of us who follow Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminded the people in the church in Corinth where he founded. He said, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? And you are not your own." And so from the tent of meeting to the presence of Jesus, and now we have become signs of God's presence in this world. It is the privilege that those of us who follow Jesus share. When people come into the holy places, they may experience the presence of God, but they may experience the presence of God through you. When people ask, "Where is God?" the answer will be in you. In you who follow Jesus, you have become a sign of the presence and the love of God. What would it mean if we took that job seriously? If we took that promise seriously that we have become the sanctuary and the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, 70% of the people that you come in contact with day in and day out have no connection with any church and have little connection or don't know how to be connected with God. 10% of those people, surveys tell us, are ready and are actively searching for God's presence and are actively asking, where is God? How can I connect with God? You and I are called to be part of that connection. Well, what would it look like if you and I really took seriously our call to be a sign of God's presence? Well, sometimes it would look like just showing a little love and caring. Someone drops something and you pick it up. Someone has their arms full and you open the door. Just being a sign that this world has people in it who care. Sometimes it might look like you offering encouragement to someone. They're down, they're feeling hopeless, and you share a word of hope, a word of caring, a word of help for them. During Vacation Bible School, I didn't have any specific job to do. And so I made it my job, and I prayed that God would help me to connect with people there at Vacation Bible School. One night, I noticed someone standing back, waiting for the children at the end, and she was kind of standing by herself, and I just walked up and said hello and started a conversation with her, and found out that she was a grandmother raising her 3 grandchildren, from a teenager to a 5-year-old. She was sharing a little bit about that. And she said, "Do you have any small groups at this church?" And I said, "Yes." And I was able to connect her with our small groups, and she's now coming to our summer small groups. Sometimes it just looks like that. One evening, I connected with a young man whose friend had come here, and he had come here as a youth sometimes, and he now had children of his own, and he was kind of looking to connect with that presence again, and I was able to invite him and to share that we have a director of youth and young adult ministries, and we're doing some things, and yes, he would be welcome. Sometimes being a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit, being a sign of the presence of God in this world, might mean that you have a real, honest, spiritual conversation with somebody that you're close to and that you know. Sometimes God opens up those opportunities. Sometimes people ask you to do something on Sunday morning, and you might say, "Well, I can do it after worship, and we have an 8:15 worship service, so I'll be out of there by 9:15. And it just opens up, and they may say to you, "Well, you know, why do you go to church?" And that's an opening. It's an opening for you to have a conversation and to share what God has done in your life, and to invite them to find God's presence and God's love and forgiveness and acceptance in their lives. Sometimes it's with a coworker, sometimes it's with a friend or a neighbor, but God opens up these opportunities if we're looking for them. Some of you may be called to create a little island of church someplace outside this building. There are some people who will never come into this building and who don't even know to start a spiritual conversation. But all over this country, people of God are starting little Bible studies. We've done it at the Summit Restaurant. A couple of the ladies in our church went on a girls' weekend, and they brought me back some information about a church that meets in a bar on Sunday mornings. And it's just a layperson who decides to gather some people who might be interested. It might be a dad at a soccer game or a soccer practice who's doing his devotions, and somebody asks him about it, and he invites them to be a part of it, and other people gather around, and it becomes a little island of church, a sign of God's presence everywhere and helping people to notice God's presence everywhere. Michael Beck, who writes about these kind of things, and his church has about 6 of these little islands of church out in his community. He tells a story about Jack. Now, Jack used to take his dog to a dog park, well, he still does apparently, every Saturday morning. And one Saturday morning, he was doing his devotions as his dog was having dog time with the other dogs. And somebody asked him what he was doing. And he said, "Oh, I'm doing my devotions. You want to join me?" And eventually, Jack gathered a whole group of people at that dog park every Saturday morning. And he said even the dogs sat down and listened. So who knows? Who knows what God might be calling us to do? To be a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit. To be a sign of the presence of God all over this community, in any places where we find ourselves. Michael Beck writes, "In a landscape where fewer people know the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, I believe we need every church in every community engaging in the mission field to awaken people to that love." I think every one of us here has a son or daughter or parent or friend or neighbor who doesn't know the love of God in their lives, who doesn't know that God is with them and God is calling them into a relationship. What if we as a church could create spaces all over the place where people could find God's love and God's presence? We're going to do a little experiment this morning. In your worship folder, you found a card. I would like you to pull that card out. It's just a little, I think most of them have lines on them. And while Pam plays a little music for us, I would like you to think about how many people you are in contact with throughout the week. And that includes people at the gym, people at the grocery store, maybe the checkout person, people that you're with in some kind of a recreation event, in a club that you're in. Just try to think about even the distant connections that you have with people throughout the week. And write that number down, and then Jeff's going to collect them for us, and he's going to help Ken collect these cards. So let's take a few minutes to just think about how many, many people you touch during a week. Now, what if you became a channel for all of those people, or for any of those people, to find the love of God in their lives? Amen.